have very different predictions for both the states of a system as well as the dynamics of a system. So as you know, when we do quantum mechanics, we describe states by wave functions or density operators. But in classical mechanics, we talk at the level of probabilities, which are, of course, squares of the wave function. And in classical mechanics, we are allowed to talk about precise points in phase space, which we're not allowed, of course, in quantum mechanics because of uncertainty. Things are also more interesting when we talk about coupled systems, for example, two qubits. In that case, quantum theory predicts these odd non-classical states that have this property of entanglement. And this is something that doesn't have classical analogy. So that's another interesting difference. And if you now go to the level of dynamics, then we know quantum theory, there's the Schrodinger equation, classical mechanics governed by Newton's law. So also quite different equations. And furthermore, because of this difference, if you look at the mean values of some observable quantities, the evolutions can be quite different. Well, you might say, well, no, when you go to macroscopic systems, then quantum, classical, they all look the same. That's not actually true, particularly if you look at systems that are classically chaotic. These systems can, the quantum and classical dynamics can diverge extremely fast, even if you're talking about macroscopic systems such as planets. So it's not quite resolved by just looking at the size of a system. So given this, and if we still believe, which I guess most of us believe, that quantum mechanics is a fundamental theory, then the question is how do you reconcile and get classical predictions for states and dynamics coming from quantum mechanics? So one answer that has been realized is that quantum systems are not generally isolated. They talk to their environment. And when this happens, then there is some entanglement with the environment, loss of information. This can remove coherences and cause the states to be described classically as probability distributions and can lead to, therefore, classical evolutions at the level of distributions. On the other hand, if you look now, think of the environment as a detector that you actually place to look at the system. And if you monitor your system through the detector, then you get a measurement record. This is like a quantum trajectory. And then at the level of actually specific points in phase space following a trajectory, question is, can you recover some kind of dynamical evolution from that measurement record? So the two descriptions are actually equivalent, because if you look at an environment, you can always think of it as some giant detector, except you don't know what are the measurement results of the detector, in principle. So in one case, you keep the records of the detector. In the other case, you don't, if it's just an environment. Here, I'm going to talk about keeping the records and looking at monitoring a system and ask the question, what happens to the dynamics? Do we get any classical dynamics? If we do, what happens to the states of the system? And can you reconcile and get classical states and classical dynamics in the system? So the scenario that I'm going to consider is a bipartite system, because eventually I want to look at entanglement in the system. In the bipartite system, I have system A and B. And I assume that A has a position degree of freedom, which I'm going to continuously monitor with some detector. So the monitor system of the overall A plus B state can be described by a Schrodinger equation, but it's a stochastic Schrodinger equation because it includes the effect of the measurements. So there's just the free Schrodinger equation term here. And then there are two extra terms due to the effect of the measurement. These are the drift and fluctuation terms that come in. Here, the term here is a stochastic term defined by a Gaussian or Wiener noise process. And the measurement strength or the resolution, how precisely can you say where the state is, what is the position of system A, is given by this constant K, which is the measurement strength. So now, from this evolution, I can write down equations for the mean values of the observed subsystem, which is system A here. And you look at the position and momentum of that part of the system. And you can compare this to what I would write down as the evolution using some classical equations for the position and momentum of system A. Comparing the two, you see that the quantum evolution has these extra noise terms. This is the sort of, you can think of this as the effect of the measurement. You're disturbing the system. Those are the back action. And if these don't appear in the classical evolution. And so we want these terms to go away if we want to get back the classical evolution. So we want small measurement back action. That's one condition. But there's more. There's also this term here, which is an expectation value of whatever is the function that comes from the Hamiltonian that you're considering for the evolution. And if I can write that expectation value of that function as a function of the expectation values of z and p, then this term here will look very much like this, which is just a function of z and p. And that can be done if I think of a system which is highly localized, because then I expand every function around the means and then drop higher order terms. And in that case, I can factorize this out into a function of just the means. So that is what I would call the strong localization condition. So the measurement must be strong enough to localize so that this term can be factored, but weak enough so that these terms don't grow. And those are the two quantitative conditions I have to satisfy if I can do that. I cannot satisfy that in every system, because therefore some systems are quantum. They will get disturbed by measurement, and they will not give me back this nice localization condition at the same time. But there are some, in some cases, one can satisfy it, and that's how we get the classical dynamics. However, in order to satisfy this, the quantitative condition, which combines the strong localization, weak back action condition, is that these terms which depend on the measurement back action are functions of the covariances or second order moments, and these have to remain small relative to the total phase space dynamics of the system. So that takes care of how I can get my dynamics to obey classical behavior in this case. What I'm interested in is, in that case, what happens to the states of the system. Because remember, this is a system of A plus B. So as the system evolves, there's entanglement between A and B as I measure the system also. So if I now take the Schrodinger equation evolution, I can look at the reduced subsystem that I'm measuring, A, and look at the reduced state of that system and say, well, if the overall system is pure, I'm assuming I'm not losing any information during my measurement, so the overall system remains pure. So if I look at a reduced subsystem and the entropy of that subsystem, that would be a measure of entanglement in this case. We would want to calculate von Neumann entropy, but here I'm going to use linear entropy as my qualitative measure of entanglement. And I can write down from the reduced density matrix, I can write down the evolution of the entanglement. And just like this equation, it has terms which are a sum of the unmeasured entanglement, the entanglement due to just the evolution of the system, plus the effect of the measurements. Again, I have two terms due to the measurement here. Now, this in general is some function of the reduced state. But for Gaussian states, this becomes even simpler. And I'm going to talk more about what happens when the system remains close to Gaussian. I start close to Gaussian, remain close to Gaussian. In that case, I have just this term disappears. I only have a deterministic effect of the measurement. And the question then is, what kind of evolution of entanglement, how much entanglement can I expect in the system? So what does the measurement do to the entanglement? Well, the question is there a lot of entanglement or not a lot of entanglement? In the classical limit, we would say, well, entanglement is not a classical property. It should go away. But in fact, that's not true. From this, you can see, in particular, if I consider, as I said, a chaotic system, chaotic dynamics tends to enhance the rate of entanglement production in a system. So the unmeasured evolution can cause a lot of entanglement to be generated. And the effect of the measurement is to try and reduce that entanglement, but in fact, it's not enough to totally remove it. And what this equation shows is that you can have a system where there's a lot of entanglement, and yet you can recover classical dynamics. So in order to illustrate this, I'll show you an example of a system that we've been studying for a while. And that is this system of spin, a spin coupled to a harmonic oscillator. This is a so-called spin boson model. It originally came up when we were studying atoms in optical lattices. It crops up in all kinds of contexts. And it's basically a particle in a harmonic trap, which has a spin, where these j's are just the regular angular momentum operators. If you look at a spin half, system in particular, where J's can be, of course, larger spins too, but for the spin half, it's just easy to visualize. You see that if you ignore the last term and just look at the second term here and the harmonic trap, for spin up, you have a harmonic well which is shifted from 0 to one side. Spin down, you get shift to the other side. If you have a superposition of spin up and spin down, you get a wave function that evolves in both of these traps. And you can get some interesting states which look like spin up times some wave packet in the left well, plus spin down times the wave packet in the right well. That looks very much like a Bell state, and it's very entangled state. If I include the term to the right here, I couple the spin up and spin down states, and I get this double well potential in which the particle moves. This is really nice because it has entanglement in it, and we can really visualize how this particle moves in this system. And the classical limit is simple also. You consider a magnetic moment moving in the same harmonic trap under the influence of this magnetic field here. And what's interesting is if you turn off the last term, you get regular non-chaotic motion. If you turn it on, you can get chaos. So this is a system which allows us to study all the classical dynamics and the quantum dynamics with measurement. So in this system, I'm going to call my harmonic oscillator part my system A and measure the position of the particle, really, and see how it gets entangled with the spin. Before I do that, I want to show you, we've, as I said, studied this in quite some detail and find that, in fact, you can find values of the spin and the size of the harmonic oscillator relative to h bar such that you can recover classical dynamics from the measured quantum trajectories. And there's a window of measurement strengths for which this strong localization weak back action is satisfied, not just qualitatively, but even quantitatively. You can even recover Lyapunov exponents from these quantum trajectories. And that was work done in these previous papers. So given that we can reconcile the quantum dynamics to the classical dynamics, the question is, what about the quantum states that are underlying this dynamic? And what we find then is that in the regime where the behavior has already become classical, and you can get back this classical chaos, what we find is that the entanglement here actually increases as the system becomes more and more classical. So we have this strange situation where the measurement of the system is telling me, if I had to conclude something about the system, I would look at my measurement data and say, oh, this system is clearly classical. However, that's not really true because there are properties of the system that are extremely non-classical. There's a lot of entanglement. So it's really, we have to be careful what we mean by classical in this case. And I want to point out that a similar kind of situation was described in a recent paper where they looked at coupled Duffing oscillators and also found persistent entanglement for a chaotic system in the classical limit. In that system, it wasn't easy to see why there would be a lot of entanglement in the classical limit. But in our system, in fact, we can actually visualize and see what's going on. And I can explain that in just quite simply here. So what's happening is, if I take my state and write it in terms of in some spin basis, in terms of spinner wave packets, then this quantity, my linear entropy, which is a measure of entanglement, is just related to the overlap between the different spinner components. To visualize this, what it really means is, if you go back to the spin half case, as I said, there are these two potentials that the spin moves on. So what one part of the wave function moves in, let's say, the right potential, the other moves in the left. So you get two separated spinner wave packets. When they are non-overlapping, you have maximal entanglement. If they're overlapping, you don't. Now, as these things become more and more spatially separated, and then you do a measurement of position, then if the measurement is strong enough, it will eventually be able to resolve between the two wave packets, and then you destroy the entanglement, project into one or the other wave packet. However, if you go to larger spins, then the same strength of measurement may be able to resolve between two of these five wave packets, but there'll still be some non-overlapping wave packets in there. So therefore, there will be some remaining entanglement for the same measurement strength. So this is why you can see that it's not so surprising and not such a big mystery that you can have this situation of measurement that is strong enough to satisfy our classical dynamics conditions, but not strong enough to remove entanglement in the system. so. And if you look at the actual form of the linear entropy for Gaussian states, you find that it is a function of these covariances, which have to be small, as I said, in the classical limit. But this function can still be large for the entanglement in this case. So that's what's going on here. And in fact, this quantity, if I look at the effect of the measurement, go back to the equation for the evolution of the entanglement, and look at the effects of the measurement here, then we can see that if I look at the change in entanglement due to these measurement terms, then that, of course, decreases as the system becomes more classical, because in fact, that change in entanglement is the back action on the system. So instead of using the covariances as a measure of the back action on the system, we could use entanglement, really, as a measure of the back action. Because that's if you're disturbing the system, you'll remove the entanglement. And so this gives us an alternative quantitative measure of how much back action you have. If there is a large change in entanglement, then you would expect that the system does not behave classically. If there's actually a small change in entanglement, you would say, well, I have to make sure that also the strong localization condition is met. And if that's true, then I have classical dynamics. So it's a way of testing for classicality also. However, it does not say anything about the actual amount of entanglement, just the change. And that's why you can have a large amount of entanglement and still get the change to be small and weak back action and strong localization at the same time. So the summary, the moral of the story is be very careful how you compare quantum and classical dynamics. You have to specify exactly what you're comparing. And if you compare something else, then the system says, no, this is not as classical as you might believe. So thank you.